Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda. Thanks for being a listener.
We, of course, mentioned April 13th, 14th, and 15th. Next week is Keith and the Girl weekend. Opening night, game night, all that is happening April 13th. We're having a cornhole competition for VIP for life. We're bringing giant Jenga, picture Jenga, but if you lose, you get physically hurt. You'll sign a waiver at the door. April 14th, Keith and the Girl live show. Following that, the same day, You Can't Say That, Pod Wars edition. The 15th, my yearly stand-up show. I'm getting very excited.
And do you know who else is on the lineup? We had Tracy Carnazzo here yesterday. She's on the lineup. And the other person is Usama.
Osama bin Laden.
Mm-hmm. We brought him up from the dead. Usama Siddiqui.
I'm very excited. All right. Look at keithandthegirl.com/free if you're hearing all this news, but it's sad because maybe you're a college student. Maybe times are tough. What people do is buy a pass for the whole weekend because it's such a deal, but maybe they can't make it one of those days. So Keith and the Girl will be your Keith and the Girl ticket hub. And if they have an extra ticket, we'll find a way to get it for you. You'll see what I mean at keithandthegirl.com/free, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, today's guests, take off work. That's what I'm saying. Finalist on Last Comic Standing, appeared on The Tonight Show with Conan O'Brien, Late Show with David Letterman, appeared on America's Got Talent, and if you ask me, most of all, on our new podcast, My Opening Line, which, by the way, new episode featuring Gilbert Gottfried, you can find right there. The great Mike Kaplan.
Wow. Tell me about Gilbert Gottfried.
He is hilarious, Mike.
That's true.
And while you're checking out Gilbert, Mike will be there.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And joining us is his good buddy, who's appeared on Totally Biased, Comedy Central, America's Got Talent, The Pete Holmes Show, and has joined us on, I know, LA Live Keith and the Girl shows, dropped by the Keith and the Girl tour when we were at the main room at the Comedy Store. Ladies and gentlemen, Zach Sherwin.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Zach.
And hi, Keith and Chemda.
Hello.
It's been a long time. I'm really happy to see you both again.
What you could do, don't forget, go to keithandthegirl.com.
It's nice to see you too, buddy.
Yeah. Blaze on through, Keith.
I got facts to get out. keithandthegirl.com/the guest's name, and you will find all the appearances that they've made before. Zach has been on 11 times, Mike 632.
I think I've been on all of them.
You've been on every one.
I'm and.
I would like to start with tweets right away. I like reading people's personal tweets.
Great.
And
how did you get access to them?
Right. And get people just in a mood to start the day. Okay? Mm-hmm. All right. This is from the great Mike Kaplan.
Okay.
Good morning. You are here. You are conscious. You are the... By the way, this is every single day without exaggerations. Good morning. You are here. You are conscious. You are the newest and freshest version of yourself. You are the oldest and most experienced version of yourself. You are made of matter and energy that cannot be destroyed. You are love. Good luck. Good work. Good morning.
When I write them, I think about it in your voice.
Uh-huh. He's got the spaces and everything. I know I'm close.
I do good night at night also, and sometimes people don't like them. Most of the people who respond are positive, but sometimes people respond negatively. Because sometimes...
No, I'm not here. I'm somewhere else. You don't even know where I am. I didn't turn on my location. So.
My matter can be destroyed.
Watch me destroy your matter. I'm not a bully at all.
I'm not love. Yeah, you are.
One guy, like, you know, came upon my profile because it was recommended because he followed other comedians. And like, this isn't a comedic post. It's not intended to be comedic. But he's like, what is this? This isn't funny. I'm supposed to be a comedian? Was this guy? This is unoriginal. This is hacky. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm certainly not trying to claim that I invented goodnight. Hey guys, I've got a great one. I hope you sleep well.
I remember when the great George Carlin said, you're the oldest and most experienced version of yourself.
We all do it. Hey, airplanes, folks, right? They contain all of our matter when we're in them.
Was this...
What's the matter?
Wait a second.
Good night.
Did you invent that?
I hate when they rub off on Chemda so much. When you initially wrote this...
Yes.
First time I saw it, yeah. I thought it was... I don't know if the word subtweet, but I thought it was directly to a woman.
Oh.
To please them. No. Was it or not?
No.
Okay.
I legitimately saw people like Lin-Manuel Miranda and this playwright I like, John Patrick Shanley, like posting different sort of goodnight photos and good morning affirmations and just sort of things of this that inspired me to, like, because I loved seeing these things. It made me feel good to see it either in the morning or at night or whenever I saw it. And I was like, I'll write one. It seems fun to do. And like it, the yesterday, a guy wrote back that he wasn't experienced. He was like depressed and suicidal and felt like he was being removed from, like, he couldn't talk to his kids and his family. And I was like, I can't certainly solve all these problems, but like,
but I can say goodnight.
I mean, and I was, I asked him, like, you know, I hope you have people that you can reach out to, you know, either a suicide hotline or a friend or a therapist.
Did you think of writing, dude, I just want you to hit the like button, retweet if you can, but whatever, it's your timeline.
I mean, eventually, I didn't think of that, Hemda.
No, I did. I just wanted to interrupt you.
That's fine. But anyway, he ended by telling me that he was checking himself into a hospital. So it makes me feel good that a depressed person got help because, I mean, I don't know. I don't think it was directly because of me, but
nope,
there was
to credit.
A lineage. Yes, I am the hero.
I picture going to Mike as a therapist. But you never kill yourself because Mike never finishes a sentence. So you can't leave.
That's one of the ways I do it.
I'm thinking about killing myself. Turn off the lights. Good night.
I mean, and here's the thing, is there's so many people that, like, every, if not every day, like many times a week, people respond to these with saying, like, this, like, because not everybody sees them all the time. Like, not everybody right. just gets them directly fed into their.
God damn it. Twitter lied to me.
It's definitely.
Not
it's,
everyone.
No, I'm
What's
sure.
What's the point of having thousands of followers?
I don't understand.
People, you should see all of my tweets. I don't. You think people are missing some of my tweets?
Definitely.
Can I sit out for the next 5 minutes?
I mean,
all right, you just go on without me.
You want to go hand deliver all those tweets?
I think I should.
Hey, if you think, I mean, people can go to your timeline and go through them, but that's, I think, the only way to guarantee that you.
Well, looks like we have some homework to do, people listening. Yes. Go through my timeline, respond.
So, yeah, I definitely get things every few days at least that people are like, please keep doing these. It helps me. So if it doesn't help you, then don't look at it.
Zach,
look away immediately.
Does it help you or do you look away?
I don't really follow. I don't look at Twitter that much these days. I do follow Mike. My friend Izzy just started becoming a more active Twitter user and told me that he likes that yours have so much blank space in it. He said it slows down the feed.
It's like jazz. It's in between the notes.
Yeah.
It's all about the tweets that I'm not on Twitter.
Mike writes, breathe. Do you have them scheduled or do you?
No, I do it.
Raw dog.
Yeah.
You mean it.
I mean, yeah, I do it whenever, when it comes out, that's when I did it. I never schedule tweets.
Is it easy artisanal?
Is it easy to figure out when you wake up and when you go to bed?
No, I mean, it's different all the time. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm like, am I up or am I going to sleep, you know?
All right.
You know what's great? Being in a room with Mike Kaplan and Keith Malley. Because they
I like it.
You can actually see the particles just bounce off each other.
These are good questions, Keith.
Here's a Twitter written
Keith goes, hey, you said something sincere. What if we took it and meant it in a snide way? Can you go with that? And Mike's like, absolutely not, but I'll keep talking to you.
I would say absolutely. I love hate. I love snideness. I love everything.
I wouldn't say hate. It's such a strong word.
No, I'm saying I love things as far removed from what I'm doing as hate, and you are in the middle. So.
Keith and Mike are like a negative, two positive ends of a battery. Like, they're interacting, but they're pushing each other away from each other.
Yep.
Kind of. But there is still an interaction.
It's like it makes it work, but, you know, it's going to like...
My metaphor is not perfect because it's two positive sides. So. Just kidding. You're positive too, Keith.
At Hemda, this person writes, not that it matters, but after years of listening to your podcast, I stopped.
Okay.
It was because I was upset that you spoke often about topics that I agree with.
Wait, you know what? Mom?
I was upset that you spoke often about topics that I agree with but thought were impossible to solve.
Oh, then definitely turn me off.
There is no way to guess how to excite an audience or turn off an audience. People send me advice all the time, unsolicited, of course. I gotta tell you, we couldn't even guess. We couldn't even guess. This person stopped listening because, yes, Kenda brought up points that they agree with, but the points were too big, let's say gun control, how can they be solved? So I have to tune out.
I get that. Some people, you know, turn off their news cycles or like, you know, try to accept less information so they can get in their own heads first and then be ready for whatever it is we're talking about.
That's sweet. I think this person's a moron.
You see that? Batteries.
I mean, they stopped listening and they sent in...
to let you know.
Oh, yeah.
Right. That's really important. Then wrote...
Oh.
I was wrong.
Oh.
The issues you speak about need to be screened from every platform. So it took a while for her to come to that conclusion. P.S. I'm back and I'm in.
Yay.
Oh. Welcome back.
This is my new favorite listener.
See,
I'm into it.
It really tells you a lot about your personality, right? Kenda's thrilled. Saw nothing but positivity.
Huh.
I'm angry at this person. I want a public apology on all platforms.
Scream from the rooftops.
Screaming from the rooftops.
We talk about the important matters here. Continue, Keith.
We have a phone number. I want a voice message minimum.
646-502-8682.
Not that Kenda's inviting this person over to their house.
Can I offer something that Zach shared with me once? Zach, will you... So there's the story of the... Or I don't know if it's a story, but from the Talmud, the tzaddik and the baal tshuva. Am I saying those wrong?
No.
Can you... Okay. And one of them is like a... Sort
the tzaddik is the intellectual,
the saintly person.
And the baal tshuva is the person who comes back to the religion?
Yes, one who has erred, but then has returned to the path. And so this person, and they're both, their
the
positions.
The prodigal son, right?
Okay. They're both valid positions to be, like, they're both good. Like, now, it's good to be either a person who's never made a mistake or whatever, and the person who has, you know, made a mistake and learned from it is like, oh, now I see the way. And that's what this person is. It's even kind of, you're in the beginning, you're like, this person's a moron.
Right.
But then they're like, I was a moron. And so aren't they, now they agree with you.
Zach, that was very lovely of you to share that.
Oh, thanks so much. I'm glad to be able to share it. Yeah, that person tasted freedom and then came back to the podcast for more of your opining on big unsolvable topics.
Thank you for the prison.
I would like to know those years.
Those years?
And how it, let's say months. How did it then come to them?
Oh, yeah.
Mm. You know, how about sharing that?
Once they saw Gilbert Gottfried was on the show yesterday, like, you know what? Kenda has a point.
How about
Gilbert, now that Gilbert Gottfried yelled it into a microphone, I get it.
I heard him across all platforms.
Yes.
He yells. At Kenda, hey, great positivity. I love you.
Oh, send. I'll take that.
I'll tell you what, I haven't listened in quite some time because you said two good things. Doesn't make sense, does it? Anyway, with that said, I realize good things are good. And I'm back. You're welcome.
Are you trying to make him go away again?
That's what... Who the fuck knows? He's moving in now. Who the fuck knows? That's what it is. The very end, too. I hear a you're welcome. And I don't like it.
Thanks for listening. Hey, thanks for having this podcast that I like and left. Right. And now I'm back and I don't like.
If I ever leave again, keep doing it. I might come back. Let you know. Okay, thanks.
They say thanks just like you do.
Yeah, they do.
Thanks.
I can't help
Before the podcast, I told Keith that his New York accent kind of makes me have like a kind of ASMR-like effect. Like it soothes me and puts me down a little bit. And then I just was listening to you going, who the fuck knows?
And he nodded off a little bit.
It's different when you see it in person. But when you hear it, it hits the boner center in your brain.
Yes, I have been rock hard since we started being friends with each other. 10 years ago.
I just want you to know that I took a break, but I'm back and pleased with what I hear. All right, great news.
Don't write Keith a love letter. That's going to be something.
Oh, I'd love to hear this love letter.
Here's a love. Oh, sorry, Zach, please.
No, it's like saying like, hey, I really fell in love when we met and there was a long time where I fell out of love with you and wasn't attracted to you, but I've decided to stick it out.
Happy birthday. Fuck off.
Here's my, I'm going to try to come up with a perfect fan letter for Keith.
Goodbye.
I'm sorry for everyone else. I've always known who you are and loved you the most possible and also increased every day, have listened to everything you've done unless you didn't want. Goodbye.
That is perfect. And I don't mind if you take a picture of your notes and send that out as a tweet because it needs to be longer.
Thank you.
That is encouraged. For your edification, I was not pleased with something that makes no sense to tell you about. But I'm back.
You don't think that's such a big deal? that you affect someone so hard that they need to pause to like collect themselves.
And with then when goodness, they, when you give them too much goodness, I hope they don't have kids.
And then when they collect themselves, they come back to you. That's like Rumspringa, except like the nice version. Like, except you're not like, you'll never have anything without me. So hey, if you want to come back.
You know what? That's what dating sites should have. Which of these is a good apology letter? And then it matches you, right?
That should be your entire bio on your dating site. This is how you write an apology letter to me. If you're into this.
Yeah, if this makes sense to you.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's the perfect woman for Keith.
When you online date, do you tell people about this podcast?
Yes. The first line on any of the apps says, my name's Keith Malley. You can Google me. We just cheated the system. Now I know I'm with a dirty girl. You know?
It is good for them to, I mean, they can get to know you 100%.
Right.
Can I just ask why it has to be dirty? Because I'm here every day and I think that it's not.
Because I cheated the system. I'm not using these apps and their games.
Oh.
We're living life on what you figured out and then come back to me.
Okay.
Also, Keith, that's a very confident way to lead. You can Google me.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That must be attractive to many.
I say
some.
I say hi.
Few.
I would take off the next couple of days. You have business to get to. That is getting to know me.
Also, I like that you just said you're welcome, but that was what you were mad about at the end of the letter.
It's about tone, smartass. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, beep bop your way out of here.
It's about tone, smartass.
Fair
you,
point.
You get him.
Yep.
eHarmony is what I'm all about now. eHarmony takes steps that other dating sites don't in order to find you a more compatible match. Okay. Sorry, I'm passionate about dating sites. I've been messing around. I like somebody that takes it seriously. eHarmony is built to help you find lasting, meaningful relationships. It's the number one most trusted dating site or app.
All right, I can't wait for these stories.
That's based on a 2018 survey of 1,616 U.S. singles. Oh my goodness, this is science backed. All right. Stop waiting and start your journey to a satisfying, meaningful relationship. It can be fun to play around with online dating apps. Sure. Yeah, definitely. You know. But when you're ready to fall in love with someone and have a meaningful relationship, there's one app that's built to bring you real love. eHarmony. Come see how eHarmony can change your life. Go to eHarmony.com and get started. Enter the code KATG at checkout. And you will find immediately love.
Instant one free relationship.
Right.
Here's what I found that works on eHarmony, because it's, you know, it's a good matchmaking site. You got to put in not just a picture of yourself. You have to put in apparently also, and you should put a picture of yourself, but also a group picture. Like, hey, I do things with people who are fun. So what I want you to do is, obviously you've been to a Keith and the Girl event, and that means that we took pictures with each other. I need to be in your group shots. Okay, if you have eHarmony, be in the group shot, because I can't be on these sites because I'm married. So in order to include me and for me to feel included and loved, please put me in your group shots. Thank you. That was a public service announcement.
And please whisper my name when you orgasm.
At checkout.
Use code KATG when you come.
I was reading, speaking of tweets, about Laura Ingraham. She works on Fox News.
Not for long, she doesn't.
It's not looking pretty, but Fox News is standing behind her, of course. She put out a tweet about David Hogg, and he's one of the teenagers that are in the March for Our Lives. He's one of the notable children.
From Parkland.
I'm Team Emma Gonzalez, so I don't know what this guy's about.
They're not enemies.
You got to pick sides.
They both don't want to die from guns.
Oh, okay. Then I like them both.
Yeah, he's nice.
Good point. David Hogg, this woman writes, Laura Ingraham, was rejected by four colleges to which he applied and whines about it. Then in parentheses, I don't understand this, but I didn't go to school. Dinged by UCLA with a 4.1 GPA. Totally predictable given acceptance rates. Isn't four the highest?
It is.
What's she talking about?
You can get higher with advanced classes.
Advanced
now.
Placement classes.
Oh my God. That's something I wouldn't know about. I'd finish college and then be like, what? I needed a five? Why didn't anybody tell me?
Yeah, you got a less than 110% in math, so.
Right. So, of course, protesters boycotted when she starts saying how silly these kids are being. Let me explain something. No matter what team you're on, blue or red, people like these kids. Now you know. Act accordingly. Okay? It's really throwing people if we like these kids or not. Everyone likes these kids. They're good kids. Okay?
I mean, they're kids. And they're also doing and saying great things. Like, they don't have... Kids can be uninformed and dumb. And, you know, that's... They're allowed to because they're not fully formed human adults. But also, these ones are smart and kind and caring and doing good things.
They're crying, I don't want to die too much.
They're being paid for that, though.
Right.
Fake news. They want to die too much.
Hey, kid, how much to die?
And they're smart in two ways, because they're also like savvy, right? Because didn't Hug kind of call the troops in on Twitter on Laura Ingraham, and that's why the sponsors fled, and why all this change is happening. So the position is good, in my opinion. Yeah. There are people who don't think this is the right thing.
Expedia, Hulu, Nestle, these people dropped out. Nutrish, TripAdvisor, Wayfair. So it's obviously is working, the boycotts, and so she let out an apology, but one of the weakest. In the spirit of Holy Week, I apologize for any upset or hurt my tweet caused him or any of the brave victims of Parkland.
This is so funny because it still falls under money makes everything happen. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, we're not going to give you money anymore. I'll be a good person. What? Did I say that? I didn't mean that.
For the record, I believe my show was the first to feature David immediately after that horrific shooting and even noted how poised he was given the tragedy. This is some apology. Maybe they know that person who wrote you, Hemda. As always, he's welcome to return to the show anytime for a productive discussion. We'll even send a car.
That's so funny. Anytime. Drop by. We're not going to. What are we going to do?
Just absolutely.
Put you right on. We don't have any other booked guests.
This seemed like a real negative thing, you attacking us. But you know what? It turned positive. Let's do it.
It's funny that she's like, for a productive discussion, it's like he wasn't on and you said an unproductive thing. Like, you're the one who's not.
And now let's make it productive. Okay, that was unproductive. Let's sit in that old fucking day.
Does this feel like gaslighting?
It's trying to trick you.
Yeah, so that's why I don't know if the word is gaslighting, but it feels
there's no such word as gaslighting.
Oh, shit. Wait, I suddenly feel insecure. But I still want to date someone.
In 1984, when Laura Ingraham went to Dartmouth College, she recorded a confidential support group for gay students, published the transcript in the Dartmouth Review, complete with the names of the students at the meeting, students who were in the closet. And of course, this is back in the day, as if it'd be easy now, but it's back in the day when you're going to get rejected from jobs, never mind frat boy behavior. This was serious news. She's outing people
to
the...
Did you hear him? He just said frat boy behavior, and we all knew what he was talking about. Right. What does that mean to you?
A bake sale that we did?
Continue.
Right. She would out the kids to the parents.
Fucking Christ. You know, a lot of times these guys are speaking so that they can reach God for them to switch it. You know what I mean? Like my husband went to ex-gay therapy, and they're in there going... My whole life, I've been told that this is a challenge and that if you pray hard enough that, you know, God will help you overcome that challenge and then you'll be really right with the Lord and you're not going to go to hell. So sometimes people go to those circles just to say, like, here's what I'm trying to do. What have you tried to do to get out of this? And so, whether it's that or just I don't know how to deal with these feelings that I have or if I should respond to them or if it is actually bad... What a breach of confidence. They're not saying, like, I'd like to slay someone with my homosexuality. They're saying, I'm confused. I mean, not that I'm explaining this. You know, let me mansplain this to you.
It's your same opinion, but deeper voice.
Right, right.
Frank Stallone, the great Sylvester Stallone's brother. By the way, in an alternate universe, I picture Frank Stallone wrote Rocky. And everything's different. But Frank Stallone attacked David Hogg, calling him a pussy and a bitch. and would like classmates to sucker punch him.
Now that's a productive discussion. Finally, we're getting some role modeling.
But then he said, I'm very sorry. Will you please come on my show? Also, somebody, please give me a show.
I have to talk to this guy. We're here waiting. He sends Instagram photos of him and the kid at a bus stop.
Yeah.
Where do we go?
How do people find Frank Stallone to say this? I mean,
people said Frank. So people write to Frank Stallone. Let me explain to you what these kids are marching for and why guns are dangerous. And Frank says, I believe in gun rights, and you don't know what you're talking about like I do, because he tweets out, listen, asshole, I've been shot point blank and myself, this is what he wrote, I've been shot point blank and myself to the hospital, you uninformed puke. And he's referencing a time that he was shot. But when you look it up, the time he's referencing, he was shot point blank, he was in a gun shop and the gun owner mistreated a gun and it fired accidentally and nicked Frank Stallone's finger.
Oh my God.
That's when he was shot point blank. And then he ended up apologizing.
Did Frank Stallone not know about that? Was he uninformed?
Right. to everyone and to David Hogg especially, it seems people like the kids, so I have something to say. I want to deeply apologize for my irresponsible words. I would never in a million years wish to promote violence to anyone, anywhere on this planet. Now, let's say Frank Stallone is 60 years old. You did it in 60 years, but you wouldn't do it in a million?
A million starting now. The clock resets when it's got like one of those factory injury signs. Be like, right. We haven't incited violence in, how long has it been? It's been like 3 days right. Now.
You're like, ah, Frank, take down the sign.
Keith has just a stack of papers for ripping. The interns have to maintain that stack. I wonder how many stacks he goes through a day.
They get a bonus every time he rips a paper.
To everyone and to David Hogg especially, I want to deeply apologize for my irresponsible words. I would never in a million years, blah, blah, blah. After what these kids went through, I'm deeply ashamed. Please accept my apology, Frank. So unless alcohol or drugs were involved, how does that stupidity even come out of your mouth to have such a powerful, that's a good apology.
It's a good apology, but it always makes me go, okay, can you write an essay on what you're apologizing for? Or can you only do it, you know, in this concise manner where it's like, I realize that I hurt you. I realize that this is a sensitive matter. And I realize that if I say these words, then that'll take the power away from what I did. At least, you know, you won't be able to combat me as hard, because how could you? Here I am with my hands up. But to me, it's like, why can't, you know, when we got in trouble, did anyone ever make you copy a book or write an essay about why you did the thing that you did? I feel like that should be implemented here. What part of our history tells you that the thing that you said was bad? Go. And we have the internet. You don't even have to get an encyclopedia. I think this could work out, because then we could really believe that you believe what you just said, or at least like we know how you derived to it, rather than like your PR agent wrote you this thing.
Ted Nugent has said that these kids are not very well educated. Quote, they wouldn't know an AR-15 from a pterodactyl. Now, this guy, he made some good songs and he's quite the poet. not from a fucking pterodactyl. Yeah, sounds crazy, doesn't it?
I'm going to show you two pictures. One of them
can be reloaded.
You know what? In a million years, I wouldn't know which one.
One of the arguments for gun control is that people shouldn't have access to so powerful a tool when they're like not in a calm, rational state of mind, a weapon that strong. And that's kind of like what these guys are on Twitter. They like do some crazy shit and then you can take it back on the internet and apologize for it. But
right.
Mm-hmm. You can't take back a gun killing.
Yes.
Look at that. You can finish each other's sentences.
Did you ever think about that part, Zach?
Because it really fits with the words you just said.
Let me wrap that up in a bow for you, Zach. Are you taking that to go?
Some people like when you imply stuff.
Ted Nugent saying they are mushy-brained children. They have no soul.
Oh, goodness. Wow.
Now, Ted Nugent.
The soul. They have no soul.
In order to recognize an AR-15, you need a soul. Right. And these kids don't have one.
I'm going to shoot you in the soul.
Now, Ted Nugent has a lot of soul. I didn't know Ted's early work, but I was a huge fan of the super band Damn Yankees. Thought it was fantastic. But then I started looking into his older stuff. And here's a song when he was 32 years old, Jailbait. Well, I don't care, just start playing. I don't care if you're just 13. You look too good to be true. I know you're probably clean.
One more thing I gotta do to you.
Wait a minute, officer. Put those handcuffs on her, officer. I'll share her with you.
Whoa.
Now, just in defense of Ted Nugent.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was like this and still is.
Yeah.
Perhaps, is that a good defense?
Perhaps he's presenting this character as a reprehensible villain.
Yeah.
And he's offering...
Oh, you're right. We didn't stay until after the credits.
He comes out
at the end, he says, psych.
Right. Don't do that.
And that ain't right.
I wrote that song on April Fool's Day.
I came up with my social and behavioral standards when there were actual pterodactyls.
That's the only way it makes sense. Courtney Love claims to have performed oral sex on Nugent when she was 12 and a half.
Oh.
Oof. Nugent was 29 years old.
Oof.
Also, in 1978, Ted was 30 years old. He fell in love with a 17-year-old.
No, he didn't.
So, right. He fell in love with a 17-year-old.
He fell inside of a 17-year-old.
He said to the parents, hey, I really love your daughter, but it's going to be a thing, the age difference, and I'm married with 5 kids. So how about I adopt her? And the parents went along with it.
Oh, no.
What?
So he adopted the 17-year-old, then fucked her.
Why are we all talking about Woody Allen and not this?
Right. She's only 17.
That's because Woody keeps coming out with movies. Mm. Damn Yankees isn't getting back together.
Ooh, fa.
That is troubling to hear.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So no kid advice. No kid news from you for a couple more years.
Yeah. You want to put him on kid news probation?
Yes.
Yes. Earned.
Right.
Done.
That guy wouldn't be able to tell an AR-15 from a woman that he shouldn't have sex with because she's a girl and his daughter now.
Just before the...
That was the perfect pedophile joke.
Thank you very much. I think it all made sense. Please don't go back and listen.
Let's double down on it. Here we go.
Just before the revival of the show Roseanne, Roseanne Barr tweeted the words, Nazi salute.
Okay.
What she is referring to...
No, don't read into it.
Is David Hogg putting his fist up at a march, and she's saying he's really a Nazi. She is also a big supporter of the satanic sex ring story with Hillary Clinton in that pizza parlor, if you recall.
The pedophile ring out of the basement of
that
the
didn't exist.
That doesn't have a basement.
Well, she's still standing strong behind that. Now picture you write, you produce, or you direct, or you even do sound for the new Roseanne show.
And you're so proud of yourself.
And just before it's about to air, look at the kid in the Nazi salute, Sen. Mm. No! It's my big day! No! These kids are Nazis, Sen. No!
The show's doing really well, though.
You guys, we're relaunching our YouTube channel, and I need that to go in there because that was Keith being a Muppet. That was people. Keith being a Muppet, disgruntled.
No!
Cookies!
What a weird co-opting of the, like, the kid, the Nazis were into violence. The kids are trying to minimize violence. It's such a weird flip of the position.
You don't understand how time-consuming a show is. The post-production and interviews you have to do. She doesn't have all day to look into every news story. Right. She got the gist.
I remember the Nazis did something with a hand, and that kid's doing something with a hand.
Right. Right. No way is it a peace sign either, right? It's a Nazi salute. Okay.
He's holding up a fist, and fists are sometimes used to punch, and that's violence.
Didn't even consider that.
That
Nazi!
Kid. Oh, yeah.
let me say it one more time. For anybody out there confused, what do we feel about these kids?
We like them.
We like them. We like the kids. No matter what camp you're in.
But we don't like them in a Ted Nugent way.
No.
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 We like them in a regular adult, fully wholesome, wonderful way.
Thank you, Khemda.
Yes.
Khemda, have you seen my new jeans?
Oh, yeah, they're really nice.
True religion jeans, Khemda. I don't mind saying. I'm dating now.
Oh, yeah. You gotta stop looking like shit.
I gotta stop looking like shit.
You're not married anymore.
Nope. Nope.
Can't coast on those vows.
Those freewheeling days are over. You have to care.
Freewheeling.
The outsides matter now.
Put those clamps back on your wheels.
Now inside, back to being ugly. But outside, you got to get them sliding. True Religion jeans are made with softer fabric that keeps its shape. It doesn't fade. It has dyes that withstand 40 laundry cycles without a fade. Okay, that's something. True Fit has all sizes from 23 to 38. Are you ready to get the perfect fitting, most comfortable, most flattering pair of jeans?
Do I? Because I look like I'm ready, right?
I totally am. I don't know if I'm ready.
Yeah, you should get ready.
I'm going to get ready.
Get ready.
Right now, listen to this, Mike. True Religion is giving listeners $50 off a pair of regular price denim when you use the code KATG at checkout.
So stop looking like an asshole.
So do what I did. Go to truereligion.com. Enter the code KATG for $50 off your regular price denim order. 50.
Woo.
Go to truereligion.com for complete details.
I like that they got truereligion.com.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's for pants.
And it's for not necessarily religion.
I mean, these pants are so good.
This is one I can get behind.
Worship them.
Honest to God, I put these jeans on. I go, oh, Lord.
Like, I can get into these jeans. Yeah. They fit really well. I literally can. They keep their shape and don't fade. That's modeling good behavior for the newly single man.
I mean, you can decide if you wear it on a Saturday or Sunday.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I have a first date coming up. We're going to be going to the David Bowie exhibition at the Brooklyn Museum.
Ooh.
And how into David Bowie are you?
I'm one of these that are late to the party, unfortunately. I really looked into his stuff when he died. Mm. And I get it. I get why it was so popular.
So now if you just tease it out and, you know, sort of schedule how much you engage with how much of his material and figure out when you're going to die, then you can have new David Bowie till you're dead.
Oh, good thinking.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, unfortunately, I binged it.
Oh. You can do that, then die soon.
You're ready.
Yeah. I wasn't necessarily into, there's a lot of things I found corny. Fashion. Let's Dance, Space Oddity, but Life on Mars is brilliant. The Man Who Sold the World, Absolute Beginners might be my favorite love song. There's a sax in it, but that was a different time.
Do you feel like you need to, so some people like extra listen to the music, review the words before they go to a concert? Do you feel like you need to?
I had Fame stuck in my head and I didn't even play it as soon as I bought these tickets. Yeah.
I heard John Lennon co-wrote Fame. Can anyone confirm, deny?
Yeah,
confirmed.
Fuck it. Yes, retweet.
Confirmed. Mm-hmm. That kid's doing a Nazi salute. What do you got to look up nowadays?
can always retract it.
Maybe her eyesight's bad. I went to a TV taping recently and there were like people having a hard time with some of the teleprompter stuff. And they were like, they're older celebrities and they don't want to wear their glasses so they can't read the prompter. Ah. So maybe Roseanne just saw like an appendage extended and was like, it's got to be.
Maybe everyone's seeing something wrong. And that's why we're all
everyone's just getting older. That's what's happening.
Is that why we're treating each other like shit? We solved it.
But that is absolutely true. John Lennon really did co-write. His idea was Fame, and then fame. Take care. Work with that. It was so high.
Are you excited to go to this?
I am excited. I tweeted out, I'm going on a date to the David Bowie exhibit. What's some fun, impressive Bowie facts?
Oh.
And by facts, they don't necessarily have to be true, just fun and impressive. Now, here's a true one, because I did know this. His birth name was David Jones, but he didn't want to be confused for Davy Jones of the Monkees, so he changed it to Bowie.
But in the middle, he went Jones von Bowie.
I mean, that's smart, right?
It's just funny, like you would even confuse the two.
I think he chose the name Bowie because it's a blade that went two ways. And blade is like a term for a dashing young man in addition to meaning a knife blade. And he was like a swinging single dude.
Well, here's a tweet that I got from somebody named John. The Bowie knife is named after Jim Bowie, but was coined by David Bowie. I did not know that.
Are you sure that one is not a made up one?
I do not know.
I don't know how that plays into what I just said.
It's another fact about a knife.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a true fact. Vandals defaced a new Bowie memorial, pissed off that the council spent money on that rather than feeding the poor. Except they didn't. It was crowdfunded, but now the council does have to spend public money cleaning it up.
Ugh.
Now, that fact is a panty dropper. That's going to be a good one in my pocket.
Take off those True Religion jeans and drop those panties.
Sparrow says, David Bowie really loved oranges. Like at one point, he owned several groves in Florida and would spend time chillaxing down there on and off between tours. So that'll be a good one to share.
And I think it was David Bowie himself who coined the term chillaxing.
Mm-hmm. In the UK, a Bowie is slang for a belly button that sticks out. All right.
Like an Audi belly button?
Mm-hmm.
What do they call, is it a binny? For a...
Well, since this is probably made up, I don't know.
Oh, great.
Sounds like it is now.
Thank you.
Is there a navel oranges little connection you could do with the clever effect?
I don't think so.
Mm.
What could it be?
Oh, like, well, you know, navel is another word for a belly button. Mike,
oh, so. Then definitely.
What happened to when you could finish my thoughts and sentences?
That happened fast. All relationships, you know what I mean? I said to death do you part.
Hey.
And here we are.
Zach, there was a time when I really loved everything that you said, and then I didn't understand, so I left for a while, but now I'm back on board. Navel belly button oranges.
And you're welcome.
You're welcome. Tone. I learned it from Keith.
Paula says, I heard that he had a whole room devoted to toothbrushes so that he could leave one at every house he visited. I don't know about that one.
Mm, the I heard is a little suspect.
Yeah. Wait, I like the idea. How many houses does David Bowie visit? And how big is this room? How many toothbrushes?
See, it's a conversation starter.
I mean,
that's a good one.
Let's only have this conversation forever.
Angie wrote, he died. Okay, that'll come in handy.
Angie.
Angie, you did a funny thing.
Good job, Angie. Make Keith work for it.
That's how comedians laugh. Good job, Angie. Calling Angie.
Well done, Angie.
Well done.
Angie, we do comedy, and you have done what we do.
You get paid the same amount we do.
For right now.
Here's a fun news story that I didn't get to, but I love it so much. In fact, I was debating about reading it because it was older, but then I told Julia and her eyes literally fell out of her head. And I'm like, okay.
Is Julia okay?
Julia, you'll notice she's not here, right? And this was today.
Getting her eyes packed back in her head.
Check it out. Julia Schechter on Twitter. Ask her if she's okay. And then she'll wonder why.
There was a boy in an elevator in a building, pees on the controls, just being ridiculous.
That's hilarious, but also don't do that.
How old is this boy?
Yeah, that's like, an interesting question. How old was he?
36, 37?
That's your interesting question.
You have to be tall enough to pee on the buttons.
But young enough to pee on the buttons.
I think you just have to aim and like push hard.
Yeah.
If you put
your thumb on the spigot.
I don't think he's trying to press the buttons with the pee, right, though, right?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I've done enough yoga that I can pee on the buttons.
Oh. Oh, he's peeing way below the buttons.
He's not hitting the buttons.
Not a good job.
We just saw a picture.
He's a teenage boy. He's on video. Oh. He reaches the buttons.
Oh wow. Boy, does he.
Wow.
And does he.
We didn't see all the pictures before we judged.
It's so much pee, though.
Wow.
There's a lot of splashback on that pee, I'm sure.
This is really old news because we don't even have elevators anymore.
The youngster's parents refused to believe that he had been involved with the damage. The damage being that his pee short-circuited the elevator.
Oh, shit.
And he got stuck and he had to be rescued. And then the kid was upset. It's like, you never believe me. It was even on camera. You couldn't do it that high. I could do it that high.
What didn't his parents believe?
That he urinated all over the controls.
Wow.
Well, that's...
So the people break open the elevator. He's still dripping off the controls. And he's like, okay, I'm free. So bye. Oh, whoa, hold on. Your
what
pants
is the
are
punishment
wet
for this?
You get urinated on every day for a year.
By an elevator.
Yeah, but then you just spark like a weird fetish.
Spark, like pee on electronics. Oftentimes it'll say like the parking levels and it'll be like P1, P2.
And he's like, okay.
He was obeying.
Oh, picture if it said S.
Is that S?
What if it said M?
Ooh, I gotta take an S. Does anyone say that?
I gotta drop a big S.
The teenage boy trapped himself into the lift after urinating on the button panel and causing a power outage. The youngster was alone in the elevator when he decided to relieve himself in the corner, then changed his mind and started peeing all over the controls. The footage was released by the management office of the residential tower where he lives that shows him having a nice, healthy flow of urine.
Where
hitting
was this?
Every single button.
This Do you know?
Yeah, it's in China.
Does he feel a little bit good that they said hitting every single button?
His cunning plan started to go very wrong when the electrical system fails and the buttons on the panel begin to smoke and flash on and off. The boy is left panicking and the lights flicker and go out, leaving him stranded inside the darkened lift car.
Quick question. Uh-huh. Did they say his plan? Mm-hmm. What his plan went awry.
I know what I'll do.
Well, here's the thing.
Here's a cunning plan.
I'll pee on all of the buttons and have everything be okay.
I was talking to a detective after I was robbed at gunpoint, and there's so many little different levels to the crime. Was the gun pointed at my stomach? Was the gun pointed at my head? Was I threatened? What words were used when I was threatened? So there's levels to this. Was it
it's an elevator.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So many levels.
Was there a zipper fly? Was it a button fly? I mean, you get to that third button, this is now a plan.
Every button is an extra thing on his sentence.
There was pee meditation.
The boy's urine.
My joke is like, it's about pre-med, everybody.
Mike.
Zach can finish my sentence.
Zach's like, that's not the end of my sentence, just to be clear.
I don't know if guests know, like, boy, Keith doesn't listen to that, I'm doing them a favor.
Can it be both?
The boy's urine is believed to have entered the control panel square beneath the buttons, causing it to short circuit and cut out entirely. What if he's like a new character in Ocean's 8? And that's how he breaks into places, right?
Yeah, except I think that one's all women.
Somebody has to explain the mission. The mischievous child was saved by emergency services a few minutes later, but he refused to admit to urinating on the button panel.
This kid is getting way too much shine from the article. He's like mischievous and cunning and devious and shrewd and wily.
Cunning boy gets trapped by his own dumbness.
The other's like hilarious, potentially hilarious prank goes off the rails.
Right.
Was this article written by the boy himself? The clever little genius had the worst luck imaginable.
His parents wouldn't believe him.
When the damn panel started smoking. Who would have thought that would happen when I did this?
He did the thing, but it shouldn't have done the thing.
Oddly single, David Chang.
On eHarmony.
Right.
Pre-harmony.
Kenda?
Yes.
Forget everything you know about vitamins.
Oh, shit. All right, hold on. All right, I'm there.
Okay, now listen to this. I'm going to tell you about a vitamin. Okay.
Oh, I have new space for vitamin information.
Right. Let me explain what a vitamin is.
Okay.
They're pill-like things that help you.
I need help.
Okay. I'm talking about Ritual, R-I-T-U-A-L. These are pills for women, finally. Vegan, sugar-free, non-GMA.
Non-GMA, non-GMO.
Trust me, they're not GME, they're not GMH. Gluten-free, allergen-free, made in the U.S. without synthetic fillers or colorants. Give me one of those again, I'll punch you in the mouth. Anyway, they have an innovative beadlet and oil formula, my favorite kind. Keeps dry ingredients separate from oils. I don't need that mixing. I mean, I'm into mixing, don't get me wrong. Don't take this out of context, but if you're talking about beadlet and oil formation and key ingredients.
I always am.
Get out of my country. You know what I mean? Mint scented with an in-bottle tab enriched with pure peppermint oil. Finally, a pill you can enjoy. You ever take a pill and be like, okay, I swallowed that?
All the time.
Well, now you're like, oh, mint.
Ooh. You can do a ritual with your true religion.
There you go. They hate each other, actually.
Oh, no.
So here's what you do. Look, it's a subscription-based pill for women, and it helps them with stuff. I don't know what they do. I know happiness is guaranteed. No questions asked, so cancel easily anytime, okay? Buy omega-3s yourself. Okay, I'll take out a loan to be a healthy woman today. Like, it's not hard enough. Getting catcalled. And worse.
Is this all written on that page?
Yes.
It's a pill for women.
I'm the perfect
girl pill. Get the girl pill.
Now, they tell you forget everything you thought you knew about vitamins because it is different. It's next level. Ritual is the brand that's reinventing the experience. You know pills and the experience you have. They're changing the game.
The beadlets.
Because sometimes, I'll tell you what I take. I'm practicing my stand-up, so I take Ginkgo Biloba, okay?
Go on.
But I'm like, this can use a fucking reinvention, you know? But that's what this company is about. Change the game. Ritual is the brand that's reinventing the experience with 9 essential nutrients women lack the most.
Ooh, what are they?
picking towels off the floor, closing a cabinet.
This can't be what they...
being late to my things, but never to yours with attitude. You know what they do. Oh, wait, hold on, wrong paper.
Just a super quick, you got to come to KTG. We don't miss this. This is crazy.
I have some thoughts. If you're ready to invest in your health, do what I did and go to ritual.com/KATG. And I did. I want him to live and healthy.
Thanks, buddy.
Sure. Bitch had a tumor.
That's me. We say witch now.
Your future
bitch had a witch.
Your future self will thank you for taking Ritual. And they they swear by that. If time travel is invented and you can meet yourself, you'll thank you. Consider it your lifelong health 401k. Why put anything but clean ingredients backed by real science?
Science again.
In your body. I'll go around the room. Exactly. Go to ritual.com/KATG.
Thanks, Keith.
You're very, very welcome.
I now know everything I need to know.
Girl pill.
Vitamins.
Okay. Now forget everything you think you know about tables.
What, really?
Now, okay. One thing at a time.
Forget everything that you think you know about people who have told you to forget things.
I blew your mind with vitamins.
You did?
We'll rest there.
Thank you. All right.
Mike Kaplan, his Twitter account is at MYQ Kaplan. The website is MikeKaplan.com. And he has a brand new podcast entitled Broccoli and Ice Cream. Little duality.
Oh, yeah. You got it.
Yeah.
It's about doing the work of broccoli and feeling the joy of ice cream.
Holy shit, you're good.
Thanks.
You just came up with that.
Zach helped. Zach might have come up with most of it. Yeah. Zach and I were talking once.
Well, this doesn't look like a one person.
About dualities. Oh, yeah. No, there's two of us. Discussing dualities. Zach was my first guest.
And now, what's the Kickstarter drip? I like the sexy sound of this.
Thank you.
Yeah. So drip. Nothing sexier than dripping.
You're familiar with Patreon,
right? I'm thinking about a certain elevator that had some.
But forget everything you know about crowdsourcing.
Yes.
What's drip?
So, you know Kickstarter.
Yes.
Kickstarter, you have to know a little bit about crowdsourcing.
Okay, a little bit.
You know what crowds are. You know what a source is.
Okay.
You know all the words that you know. You don't have to forget anything. So Kickstarter, you're like, hey, give me some money for a thing. And right. Then Patreon was like, hey, what if we did a thing where you give us money like for a recurring thing? Every once in a while, we have a thing. You give us money for that. Kickstarter's not doing that. Well, so like Patreon was like, oh, the Kickstarter for ongoing things. And Kickstarter was like, why don't we be the Kickstarter for ongoing things? That's what Kickstarter drip is. So it's their version of Patreon. So
that's smart because they already have the awning to be the Kickstarter of that. So they'll do that. And then people can go to yours.
Yes.
And let's say you donate a certain month, maybe you'll have a little bonus for them.
I every week will have two episodes, one for free on iTunes and one for premium contributors on Drip. For as little as $1 a month, you get an episode, or $4 a month, you get all the episodes.
I saw your first episode is the great Michael Ian Black, so you're not messing around here.
It's so that's the one that's the most recent episode. That's the number one, counting from the top down.
Yeah.
Number five from the bottom up.
All right.
Thank you.
Zach Sherwood.
Yep.
I hear that you've been on Broccoli and Ice Cream.
Yes.
No.
I was a guest on Broccoli and Ice Cream.
How'd you get on?
I know a guy.
Well, since I came up with the fucking show, I've been you don't even know who's going to show up. Follow him online at Zach, Z-A-C-H, Sherwin. And the website is ZachSherwin.com.
And Keith, I'm so excited to hear which of my tweets you pulled to talk about.
Well, actually...
Oh, I thought I was roasting.
Here's the one I have.
Okay.
Okay, everybody take
this. Now I'm a little nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning.
Nope, just excited. Okay.
Good night. You have done it once again. You have lived for one more day, a full day. You have done the work. You have learned and grown. You have persevered. You have been. You still are. And now you may rest, sleep, dream, peace,
drip,
love. Good work. Good luck. Good night. I'm getting closer.
Quick.
I'm so
came.
Close.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
KATG.
Quick thing, Keith. Mm-hmm. That, Zach, did you tweet that?
I don't remember tweeting it.
It was pretty late.
But
at
it
night,
was so, late at night, yeah. So I might have been fuzzing out a little bit.
We did. We were in the car together late at night last night, driving from Boston to New York.
Eat broccoli. Feel like ice cream. Goodbye. KeithandTheGirl.com.